There is a love conundrum happening in the world. There are those who want to be Miss Independent and the others who are pursuing an aggressive, soft life. I identify with being the independent babe, but my heart has finally desired love. And in the pursuit of understanding what it is that I want from my love life and how I want to show up in a relationship, I started to ask myself, girl, why are you even single? All aboard to Chatting with Charity. Today's destination is, sis, this is why he don't want you.
You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity.
If you are here listening to this Apple ride or Spotify ride, get over to YouTube. We are doing the vibes over there. You know, I really want to connect with you and see you. Second of all, like I mentioned on YouTube too, so I'm trying to tell you to get to YouTube. I am going to be at Change Church in Atlanta, Georgia, doing a vendor opportunity at the church the first weekend of June. More details to come, but if you are in Atlanta and you want to meet me, stop by my booth, shop with me, of course, but if not, I would love to just meet you as a writer in person. That would make all of my dreams come true. So that is in Atlanta, Georgia, Change Church. More information to come about that. And if you are not following Powered by Ballard, you are missing out. Head over to Instagram, follow all of my pages, and just vibe with your girl. Giving you different content in every single Instagram page so you will not be overwhelmed with seeing my face. Now, the reason why I really wanted to do this ride and get into this podcast is because I think I'm 32 now. And I was talking to this guy and he was like, you know, you're putting pressure on me. You want a relationship. You want this, you want that. And I'm thinking, what is this guy even talking about? Like, let's be serious. I'm 32. I have a kid. I'm not getting any younger. And I've never had a serious relationship. And that's so embarrassing to say because I consider myself to be a successful person. Women look at me and they identify with me and they're like, Charity, you're the kind of person I want to be. But then I ask myself, that's called being single, working really hard, never having any support, and just being alone. And loneliness is not what we're called to do. So I have to be objective and not subjective and ask myself, Charity, why are you actually single? In my head, I want to tell myself that I am perfect because, you know, your girl is an Aries. And although I don't follow zodiac signs that much, I do know I'm number one and I'm perfect. So I say to myself, okay, Charity, why are you single? So when this guy is telling me that he feels like I'm putting pressure on him, I was just so irritated by that because I've heard that so many times. And as a person that has not committed to relationships the way that I should have or sought out people who could even offer me a commitment, I wonder why this guy was feeling that. From my perspective, it's because I give that relationship vibe. I give out that vibe of love me, be with me, have a family with me. That's just the energy that I give. I'm very warm and I'm fuzzy, but I'm always attracting men that are afraid of that, scared of that, not ready for that, or have no clue what it is that I'm offering. So I had to go to my friends, the ones that I trust. You always got to have yourself a couple of men in your life that can give you real information about yourself. And because both of these people were established and they have marriages and they're in relationships, I wanted to ask them like what they thought about me as a person. And one told me I'm a bum and the other one told me I am a eggplant head. Okay. And I said, wow, now that is wild. But I wanted to continue to be objective and see what they had to say. And I realized that as much as I thought I had it all together, I don't. And then when I deep dive into the word to try to understand more of what's happening in my life, why am I a part of this conundrum? Okay. Writers, these women out here are setting us up. Okay. I want the option to be able to choose who I want to be. But like I said, there are only two groups here. You are either Miss Independent or your soft life babe. Okay. And I'm like, all right, Charity, let's do this proper. Let's really be objective and see what the Bible says about love. You know, you look at the way the word talks about the church being God's bride. We talk about how God is a gentleman. We talk about how he won't force us, you know, he'll allow us to come to him and all of these things. So those are the majestical sides of what it feels like to desire a man and how a man should pursue you. But when I look in the Bible for some stories to properly articulate how to find a man, what I've come to realize is that you have to trick that man into wanting you. You have to know exactly the kind of guy you want, where he's at, what he's doing, how you're going to get them, and mastermind your way towards that man. Sis, that's why you're single. Because you're so focused on yourself and the life that you want for yourself that you don't realize that the man you want needs instructions to find you and instructions to get to you. Why am I saying this? Because this entire story about Ruth and Boaz, everyone wants to be with that man who loves you and will nurture you and will make you worthy and make you feel good. The man that's going to have you when no one else wants you and give you portions of his riches and all of that wonderful Cinderella story that most of us cannot find, even though we would love to have. We talk about this Ruth and Naomi story about Boaz and the way Naomi instructed Ruth to go and get Boaz was very, very interesting. And when I read the instructions, and I'm going to share them with you here, I realized I can't do half this stuff. So let's just get into it. We're going to go to Ruth chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. On day one, Ruth's mother-in-law said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whom women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing in the threshing floor. Wash and put on perfume and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. Do not let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." When you hear sermons, you're going to hear this story multiple ways. We're going to have it the objective way. Because again, sis, this is why he don't want you. And sis, it's me. Sis could be you. And honestly, I'm not going to sit here and put ourselves in a position where we are trying to capture men or feeling like we all have to be desperate for a man. This is a play on words for those of us who really want to get into a relationship. Because honestly, men today really aren't available, accessible, or what we used to love and like and used to have. So, anyways, let's get back to it. So, three reasons. Actually, I'm going to list more than three. A couple of reasons why he don't want you is because a man has to have a purpose and to provide in a substantial way. Oh, my goodness. Miss Independent Babe and Miss Soft Life Babe. It's like the soft life babes are the ones who evacuated from the independent life. And the reality is that you do got a lot of money. You already have a lot of education. You've already built things. You're just tired and want to relax. So some of us are kind of vacating and running. And we're not doing the soft life babes really well of a job. And then others realize in the soft life category that you really don't want to have kids and be a stay-at-home mom. So you kind of just want a man to pay for you to do nothing. That's really what soft life means. But anyways, you have to have a man who is available in your life to provide for you in a substantial way. It doesn't matter how the pandemic threw money into this world and men were spending money left and right on women. That's really not how it is. It's not about a man purchasing you or buying you. He has to feel like he's providing for you and elevating you and giving you something of great value. If a man is a hustler and he has $100 today and he knows he can get $100 tomorrow, him giving you $100 doesn't matter because he already knows he can get it back. You have to have a man that's wealthy and not rich. And wealth is not necessarily money alone, but something of substantial value that he's bringing to the table and giving to you. So sis, one of the reasons why he don't want you is because you are too independent, and I've heard this so many times, too independent, and you have way too much going on that a man does not know where he fits at in your life. He needs to be able to see himself in a place of authority, in a place of power, in a place of strength in your life. For those of us who have never been able to experience what that looks like, may God be with us all as we figure out how to be meek, soft, and relaxed Life is tense over here. Bills have to get paid, honey. Anyways, number two, Naomi tells Ruth, okay, get into it, wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Sis, the other reason why he don't want you, he not into you, is because you're dressing for yourself and not dressing for him. For a man to be able to see you, he has to be able to be attracted to you and like how you appear. If you are dressing for yourself, you are going to attract yourself. You're going to attract more women that want to look like you, who want to be like you, men who are interested in a person who dresses like you. But if the person that you want cannot see you because of how you're being dressed, how you're clothing yourself, you have to change your look for the man that you want. The only way you can do that is by knowing what kind of man you want in the first place. You cannot just dress up and go out in this world for any old man. You have to be particular and very specific so that you dress, you walk, you speak, and you talk according to what that man desires and wants, and that's the kind of man you want in your life, okay? Now, I say that because I think I dress pretty modestly. I dress more covered up than I think in my head I would want to dress. I speak well. I like to look like this, but in my real life, I look a mess. But here's the thing. When I'm going to the grocery store, I don't look like this. I look a mess, okay? I'm not walking out the house trying to attract the man that I want. I am not posting content that would tell the kind of man that I want I'm available. And I'm not even articulating properly what kind of man I'm looking for. I'm just taking whatever knocks on my door. And that's just not it, okay? That is not it. So the reality is that we have to be considerate of ourselves as women for what that kind of man wants, and to not allow these other men that we're dating to change us, to groom us, and to grow us to becoming what they want when that man isn't even the husband for you. That man isn't even the type of guy you like, but you're being groomed by these men because they have access to you and access to your life. Pull back, sis, re-strategize, and you take control of your plan by deciding the kind of man you want and what he desires, and go for that. Next, okay. Ruth is told by Naomi to make sure that she goes to, hold up. Then go down to the threshing floor, but do not let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Listen, these women in the Bible are sneaky. I don't care how you spin it, how you flip it. From Tamar, okay, down to Jacob. All these women are flipping and tricking in this Bible. Now, how are we going to do this sanctified without the Jezebel spirit? We are going to be tactful and strategic. Now, this mother-in-law has told her daughter-in-law to go and get dressed up, look sexy, go to where he is at, but do not let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Sis, he don't want you because you don't have patience. So let him get to a good space so you can lay it on him. Oh my goodness. This one cracks me up because I consider myself to be a very impatient person. Motherhood has been dealing with me when it comes to my patience. But the reality is that we're so quick to pounce on a man and pounce on him to get what we want or be demanding instead of realizing you have to lure that man in and wait until he's at a very happy place and space for you to show up. Stop showing up to men during their dark seasons and their dark moments. You are not there to help him. You are there to get help. So you need to find him when he has good vibes, good energy, so that when he sees you, he can appreciate all that good looking that you have done to yourself and adorned yourself with. But if you put yourself out there to a man that does not have the capacity to receive you or to see you because he is hungry and he ain't had nothing to drink, sis, he don't want you. So if you know you are at a place where you're ready to receive a man, you know that you know what your man wants. Now you need to go put yourself in those places, but keep quiet. Don't let him know you're there. So y'all know I'm in the gym now, right? So I go to my little corner I do my little workout. I get it on and popping because I'm there, but I don't want anyone to know that I'm there. And the one that's checking me out and seeing me might pull up on your girl and I might be having a date, but I'm not in the middle of the gym, you know, squat racking, doing all the heavy stuff and kind of going crazy like I used to when I was a gym rat. I'm just in the corner getting my workout in and out. Trying to look a little bit available, but not too available. Anyways, let's keep it going about this Ruth and Naomi situation. The last thing that points out in this chapter of Ruth 3 verses 1 to 4 is the last part. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Now, for Naomi to give instructions like this to Ruth, Naomi had to have done some of these tricks, okay? Now, if you read prior to this chapter, you will know that Naomi had two boys, and those two boys had daughter-in-laws. One of those daughters-in-laws is Ruth. The other one left and did not go with Naomi. So she understood how a man thinks. So she's telling Ruth exactly what to do to get a man because A, she had a man, and two, she raised two men. So now let's get back into it. She's like, lay there near his feet and he will tell you what to do. Being gentle and unnoticed and dainty and careful when a man is inebriated in his happy place and allowing him just to see you be gracious because you're at the feet of him. It's like you're weirdly protecting him. And, oh my God, you know, Boaz wakes up like, gosh, what's going on? You know, who's that? And it's Ruth, and she's like, it's Ruth, your servant. You would think Boaz would be like, crazy girl, how you get here? But in a way, she had made herself known to him enough where he wasn't fearful of her and probably felt like she was just making sure he was safe or whatever the case may have. She wasn't taking advantage of him or anything like that, but she was plotting and planning. But she was coming in a very meek, soft way. You know your girl, Charity, ain't nothing meek or soft about her. I'm very big in my personality. And I'm here to tell you ladies and riders and whoever else, he don't want you because your personality is too big. I have a very, 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 very big personality. And it's okay for you to live in the stardom of who you are without emasculating a man by your presence. I was told one time by this political friend of mine that a beautiful woman needs to be like a fly on the wall, literally a fly on the wall. And I'm like, well, why would I want to be a fly on the wall? I have way too much to offer. He said, because being in the room is more important than what you have to say. When you get the opportunity to speak, then you can share your intelligence and share how smart you are. But until then, you need to be a fly on the wall. And I still didn't quite understand it. And he said to me, when a man walks in with a beautiful woman, that beautiful woman takes the attention off of that powerful man. That powerful man is still going to do the speaking, but the woman herself in her meekness and her gentleness is commanding all of the attention in the room. Men are distracted by this beautiful woman, which allows this powerful man to maneuver through the room with more grace because he has this beautiful arm candy. The thing about independent women is that we want to be equally seen as the men that we are around. But the truth is you have a role to play. If you feel like you need to exert your dominance and independence somewhere, get a passion project, get a hustle, get you some kids to tell what to do. But when it comes to your man, sis, that's the reason why he don't want you. I make this up, but this is the stories in the Bible. So I guess the next ride we're going to do or the next couple of rides here somewhere far way down the road is going to be how are we going to plan to scam, to scheme, to get to our man? Because we are ready to produce beautiful families, to have healthy relationships and break generational curses. Well, riders, we have reached our destination. I hope that this was a different kind of a ride for you, a fun one, an interesting one, and more than anything, one that has brought some value. And maybe some of us will not be single anymore after we realize why he's not into us. Well, I love you for riding. It has been a pleasure. And thank you for tuning in to Chatting with Charity. See you next time. Bye. Oh, Don't forget, head over to YouTube. We're still going to keep chatting. Okay, love you. Bye.
Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity. And don't forget to bring your friend.